Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning with verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm reading is found in Psalm 109, beginning with verse 21. Please follow the screens. But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know it is your hand that you, Lord, have done it. While they curse me, while they curse, may you bless. May those who attack me be put to shame, but may your servant rejoice. May my accusers be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshipers I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
After the gospel, yeah. Please rise for the gospel. Thank you. The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, beginning with verse 21.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Have you ever played tug of war? It's where you get two groups of people, and it's somewhat a feat of strength. We want to see who is the strongest. So it's fun to pull on a rope, but today we're going to talk about strength, but not the kind you use to win a game. We're going to talk about the strength that comes from God. Now, I've got a piece of rope here. Would you trust this in a tug of war? Yeah, it wouldn't take very much for it to break apart. It's not very strong at all. Okay, how are our chances with this one? A little better? Well, it's much thicker and stronger, and it'd be really hard to break this rope. It can take a lot of pulling. Now, our lives can be like this. Kind of frail, kind of weak. We don't have a whole lot of strength. Their times could be tough. We can feel weak. We might feel we can break. We need something that is much, much stronger to help us. Now, what would happen if I intertwined, is that a word? Intertwined? If I intertwined these ropes together. Here we go. So you can see that they are bound together. They're stronger together, right? That weak rope is not going to break when entwined with the stronger one. Now, we can be strong on our own for a little while, but not for very long. We need God's strength. So how do we get that God's strength? Well, the main way is to be in prayer constantly. Prayer is like the thick, strong rope. When we talk to God, we're connecting with Him who is infinitely strong and powerful. He can help us through anything. It's like adding His strength to our own. So just like this strong rope can handle anything, God's strength through prayer can help us through any problem or challenge. I challenge each one of you to put prayer into your life, because alone we are weak. It's like the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak, but He is strong. So in God's name, I pray that you will talk to God frequently and let Him be your strength.
Well, then let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You as Your assembly this morning, Lord God, gathered in the name of Jesus Christ. Agreeing, Lord God, that we want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. We want to have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive the word that You put before us today, Lord God. Help us to have revelation, a big picture about what's really happening around us and what You want us to do about that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today we're starting a new series, and it's called Be Strong in the Lord. It's based on Ephesians 6. We could call it the armor of God, but over the next 7 weeks altogether, we're going to be looking at how God protects us, how we are in this kind of battle that is a supernatural thing. You may not see it. You may not have thought you signed up for it, but you're in it. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and dominions and spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's all happening around us, okay? And so he says, so stand. All of this is going on, and we're either actively engaged in this battle, or we're inactively in the way. And it's something that we are called to do. You know, Peter said of Paul, he said, Pay attention to Paul. He gets even more revelation than I do. Paul, a big picture guy. And he's helping us to see the tension that we live in as disciples of Jesus Christ all the time. There's a tension there that, between earth and the heavenly realms. And there's a lot of stuff we can't see, and there's a lot of things I'm really grateful for that I can't see. We used to live near Luke Air Force Base in Arizona, and I had a convertible Camaro at the time. Good car to have in Arizona. And there's this long road that runs parallel to the base. And I would, if I had the extra, you know, an extra 5 minutes, I would always take that road because I loved when the F-35s and the F-16s were taken off or landing, and you had the top down, and it almost felt like they were going to land on top of you, you know. Or when they were taken off, I always felt like, I'm going to take off too, you know. And a lot, but a lot of times, I don't know if you know, but those things are loud, really loud. And they were up there, and I couldn't see them, but I'll tell you, I could hear them. And a lot of the neighbors complained and stuff like that. Well, don't live near an Air Force base if you're, but I loved hearing them up there. Because when I heard them and I couldn't see them, I knew that they were practicing to protect me and defend me and take care of me. And that always got me thinking about, you know, what are the things around me now that are actively attacking me, and but then God's armies are out there. I can't see them, but they're defending me. There's a battle going on, and I'm in the middle of it, whether I want to be or not. But we're called as disciples of Jesus Christ to actively be in this, because this is about souls. The battle that's raging is about souls. And Jesus Christ gave his life and beat sin and death and rose and had victory over sin and death over every human soul. And so the words from our mouths can make a huge difference in this battle. The thoughts, the kindness of our hearts, so many things that we do are involved in this battle, whether we are really aware of it or not. So Paul tells us, you're in this, stand. Don't sit back on the sidelines. If you sit back on the sidelines, you're in the way. You know, you're not just not doing anything. You're helping the enemy out. Be in the battle. He says, stand. And when you stand, he says, you know, put on the whole armor of God. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the armor of God. And we may give you some information about the breastplate and the shield and that stuff. But the important thing is that we understand truth and righteousness and salvation and the gospel of peace and the sword of the Spirit. And so we're really going to hone in on that, okay? But how do we fight? If we're called to fight, yeah, we need the armor for protection, but we also, how do we fight? We pray. Paul is very clear, we pray. Ephesians 6:18, how do we fight? Praying always. Some of the time. Always. So important. With all prayer. See, I like that. I love that we pray all the time. And with all prayer. You know, some people I've found over the years have kind of a resistance to prayer because they think they don't pray flowery enough prayers or whatever. Or I don't have the formula. Or I don't know some ancient, you know, prayer meditation technique or whatever. No. Talk to God and never stop talking to God. Pray always with all prayer. And I would encourage this. If you really want to be an effective soldier, okay, in this battle, make a lot of your prayers praise and gratitude and adoration and thanksgiving. Because when you can think of those things to praise God for, it reminds the enemy of how weak he is. and how good God is and how powerful God is. And he says, with all supplications, all right? So with all supplication, and supplications is requests. God wants to hear every request, big or small. Nothing's too big for him, nothing's too small for him. Just lay your hearts out. He wants to hear from you all the time. He's with you all the time. So talk to him all the time with all supplication in the Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to muster up the strength to go and pray. So ask for the help from the Holy Spirit. He will give you the strength, all right? And being watchful to this end with all perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Don't give up. Don't cut it off. Just keep praying. For all the saints, who are the saints? Not people who've died. They didn't have a word for Christians back then. So the saints were the Hagia. They were the holy ones. They were disciples of Jesus. Just pray for all the saints. And Paul says, and for me. Because I need prayer. We need to pray for each other, and we need prayer for ourselves, and there's no shame in asking for prayer. He says that utterance is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Utterance is when we say, Lord, take my tongue. I don't have the words for this. I need your words. And when the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, the gift of utterance is when God gives us the words to say at just the right time. And so he says, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. He's not complaining about being chains. He's actually saying, I am bound like a prisoner in chains, but I am bound to God through the blood of Jesus and the infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm bound to him. When he says, I'm an ambassador in chains, that's what he's talking about. And through all of Ephesians, he uses that word, desmios. We're bound. We're bound to each other in the Holy Spirit. We're bound to God in the Holy Spirit. Bound. That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why ought to I speak boldly? Because lost souls need us to speak the words, the truth and the love of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd to them, because Jesus says, the sheep, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They hear me calling them and they come to me. But guess who's how they hear his voice? It's going to be through you. When you tell them the goodness of Jesus Christ, when you give your testimony, when you praise God for all the good things that he's done for you, when you speak, they'll hear Jesus and they'll say, That's my shepherd. I'm going to him, right? And he's already there for them. As we're praying, we're bound to God in heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to consider this. When you pray, when you even think a silent prayer, the second you start to pray, you are in two places at once. You are here on earth, and you are also in the heavenly realms. Paul also says in Ephesians, by the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, we are seated with him and in him in the heavenly places. So when you start to pray, you're here and you're right in the throne room of God. And when we pray, when we start to pray, that interdimensional activation happens. And we see this in a really, really powerful way when Jesus is baptized. And I want you to remember this before we go to Luke. I want you to consider this every time you pray, every time. And your prayers rise up to God like an incense. And in the throne room of God, Isaiah and Revelation both tell us, in the throne room of God, there's only one altar. There's no altar for sacrifice. Jesus did that. But there's an altar of incense before God. That's where your prayers rise up right before him. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus mediates for us. And Jesus Christ himself tells us that the Holy Spirit advocates for us. So when you pray and your prayers rise up, and then we have our Savior, Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he tells God, he has God's ear, and he says, Dad, your people are praying. Your child is praying. I want you to listen to them, Dad, because they belong to you. And the Holy Spirit advocates for you. He's like your lawyer. And he's with you and he's in you. And he professes, he testifies, yes, this person is in blood covenant with you, Yahweh, through Jesus Christ. They have the right to be here and their prayers to be heard. So this is a powerful thing that happens even when you start to think a prayer. You are connected to the heavenly realms, and when that happens, something powerful happens. We're going to see that. Let's look at Luke chapter 3. I love this verse, these two verses. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed. So what was Jesus doing during his baptism? He was praying. While he prayed. And what happens while he prayed? The heaven was opened. This is what I'm talking about. Every time you pray, the heaven is opened. Don't think it's not. Don't think, oh yeah, fine for Jesus, not for me. This is the inheritance we receive through Jesus Christ. As part of the inheritance. When you pray, the heaven opens. Mark says the heavens are torn apart when you pray. Okay? The heavens open. And then what it say? The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And I always do a little just kind of mental picture here. All right? Because for years and years, I always thought, it's kind of weird, you know, the Holy Spirit's just fluttering. What does he do? And then I remembered, you know, I grew up at the beach. Have you ever seen a seagull go after a French fry? That's what happens, right? The Holy Spirit is open. I mean, the heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit goes, wham! And descends on him and stays on him and fills him. And he's then everything he does in his ministry is empowered, heavenly powered, heaven powered. Okay? And so when we pray, and then God says, you are my son, my beloved, in you I am well pleased. See, when we pray, heaven is activated, and our prayers become kingdom prayers, and God does kingdom stuff through us every time we pray. Prayer is, that's how we fight. And we don't have a better tool. We don't have we fight. While he prayed. While he prayed, kingdom stuff happened. And it's very important to remember, God's no slouch. He's not a weakling. We're talking about the Almighty God, creator of the universe, that hears your prayers and is on your side. Jesus already has victory over sin and death and the devil. When you pray, there's a power behind you that is beyond what you can ever imagine in an eternity. Satan doesn't believe, he's lied enough to himself to believe that's not true, but the truth is the truth. And so when I was in high school, I only played 2 years of football because, like, my dad would always say to me, son, you look like you're going to hand him a bouquet of flowers. I just don't, you know, it's, I have all multiple black belts in different martial arts, but for some reason I just could not be aggressive in football. I just couldn't, and I hurt people, and it would just make me feel miserable. So I only played 2 years. But what a team. We were this amazing powerhouse team. You know, I was one of the small guys. And, you know, all these giant Samoan guys, a lot of them went pro, you know, and we just trounced everybody. Beyond undefeated, if you get my drift, for those couple of years. And people would say, don't you get tired by winning by so much all the time? And I would say, no. That's awesome. You know, But we never took it for granted. We'd get on the field, though, and you knew victory was coming because of the power that was with you. And that's how we need to be thinking when we pray. We have Almighty God. If God is for us, who can stand against us? That's the power we have when we pray. So pray with confidence because God is with us. And when we pray, you know, because he believes his own lies, Satan is, he's going to ramp it up. Okay, just so you know, he's wrathful. He's angry. And the reason he's even angrier than he's ever been is because he knows his time is short. He may not want to believe it, but we already know what the end looks like for him. And everything evil, thrown into the lake of fire. He knows his time is short. And so the closer it gets, the angrier it gets. When we pray, he is not going to like that. But God is on your side. Almighty God. And this is from Revelation 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. Why are they rejoicing? This is a point in Revelation where finally the heavens are closed to Satan and all of the rebellious powers, principalities, dominions, archangels, angels, cherubim, seraphim, all of those things that rebelled, unclean spirits, in all spirits of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a point in Revelation. It's closed. And you're all kicked out. And then they really get mad, okay? But that's because we know the time is short. So heaven, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea. Why? Because you're stuck there with these things. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows the time is short. But see, in the meantime, we're here. And God has chosen us to continue the fight. He's chosen us to speak the good news. That's why Paul says, and pray for me that I would have utterance to speak the good news with boldness. Now's the time. If you love somebody who doesn't know Jesus, now is the time to be in prayer, travailing in prayer for them, and be ready and ask for the gift of utterance so that you have the clarity to speak directly into their hearts so that they can experience Jesus Christ and be radically transformed by him. How does Paul say that we should pray in order to be effective in this battle? We should be praying always with all prayer. So our stream of consciousness needs to be in prayer all the time. You know, a lot of times when we pray, what's the word we end prayers with? Amen. But amen doesn't mean signing off. What does amen mean? Yeah, literally it means truly. Truly, or in the parlance of today's youth, true dat. Okay? Because God has said when you pray, when you agree on anything, when two or more of you agree, then it will be done for you to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Right? True. Truly. Jesus says, again and again in Scripture, amen, amen, lego him in. Truly, truly, I say unto you. So we're not signing off. We're ramping up. And so continue to pray. Never let your stream of consciousness be far from God. Be close to God all the time. Because if you don't invite Jesus into your marriage and you're not thinking about God in your marriage, or you're not thinking about God in parenting or in your school or in your jobs or in your hobbies, in your recreation, you let your guard down. Not only are we ineffective when we're not praying, but we leave ourselves wide open to attack. Why get in that mess? Have you ever been in a mess and thought, how did I get in this mess? Well, go back and figure out when you stop praying. When you stop trusting God. When you said, my bills are bigger than God. My sickness is bigger than God. My kids' problems bigger than God. No, it's not. Nothing is. So keep the prayers going and see him at work. Trust him. Trust him. And we need to pray for each other. You know, every day, I pray for this church. And a lot of times as I'm praying, it takes a while because I see your faces. And I pray for you by face. And then I pray for everybody I didn't see. Because I want to hold your arms up. Because I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's like Moses. What we heard from Exodus. And, you know, here's Moses. And there's a battle against the Amalekites. Moses goes up on the hill. He has the staff of God in his hands. And what does he do? He raises his hands. What is he doing as he's raising his hands? Two things. He's worshiping and he's praying. When he raises his hands, he's telling God, God, I reach out to you. Hold me. When he's praising, when he's raising his hands, he's saying, I will praise the God of heaven and earth. I will praise him for all things. He's telling God, I see you. He's telling the Israelites, God is on your side. He sees you. And he's telling the enemy, guess what? God is on our side. He's praying and he's praising at the same time. But when his arms go down, what happens? They start to lose. And so Aaron and Hur hold his arms up. And it says, then finally, Joshua won the battle by the sword, but where was the battle really being fought? In the heavenly realms, through prayer. Okay, so we need to lift each other up. I need you to hold my arms up in prayer. I need to hold your arms up in prayer. We need to hold each other's arms up in prayer. Pray for me every day. Pray for your church every day. Pray for the whole Christian church every day. We've been called to a massively higher purpose, and we need to be in prayer for one another, the whole church. So pray, pray, pray. Never stop praying. Psalm 119 is so beautiful to me. This is either, or Psalm 109. This is either by King David, or it was written later about King David, but they get the point. The point here is really David is just beset by enemies. He's older now. He's not the Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This is later. This is after the country's been unified. And David, his own son Absalom, rises up against him. And his best way to fight is to fast. Fasting and praying. He says, I am skin and bones from fasting and praying, and my enemies mock me because I'm fasting, but it looks like they're winning. Well, no, they're not winning, and no, they're not going to win because you are God Almighty. And I will praise you. He says in Psalm 119, with my mouth, I will greatly extol the Lord. What does that mean? Praises, thanksgivings, adorations. Grateful to you, God. And then he says, in the great throng of worshipers, I will praise him. We need to be praying together. We should pray together every chance we can. Pray together. Okay? For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, creator of heaven and earth, but you know what's nice is when we ask for it. Amen. Because when we pray, we engage heaven, and there's kingdom stuff that happens. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Not only do we need to worship, praise, fast, and pray alone, we need to worship, praise, fast, and pray together. When we don't, our arms go down. And we start to lose. When we hold each other up in prayer, with all perseverance, the battle belongs to the Lord. So for this next few weeks, Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Never lose your connection with God. Pray at all times, in every way. Don't leave him out of anything. The enemy will hate it. The enemy will rage. But here's a mental picture for you when you think that's happening, okay? Compared to God, the Creator, nothing created is better than the Creator, okay? Compared to God, Satan's a mosquito. Bzzz, and he's biting and he's pecking and he's, you know, getting fat on our itchy blood. But it's like when that little mosquito decides, I'm big enough and tough enough to take on a Mack truck going 70 miles an hour. When you pray, you have Almighty God on your side. And that mosquito doesn't stand a chance. So keep praying. Whatever happens, keep praying. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray. Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, your one and only unique Son, Lord God, we come before you and we ask you, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with wisdom, with knowledge, with truth, with salvation, with righteousness. Give us the rhema, the sword of the Spirit, Lord God. Fill our minds with every word of Scripture we've ever seen from the Bible, your true word, Lord God. Fuel us, empower us to go into the fight in this world with love and with light and with forgiveness and with grace, Lord God. Keep us from things like unforgiveness and grudges and anxiety and worry. Let us always put our trust in you. You are our provider. You are our healer. You are our defense. You are our might, Lord God, and you love us. We have to remember this all the time, that there's no way we could be so far from you, so rebellious that you would stop loving us. You love us. You adore us. You cherish us. You are with us. So God, get us ready for the fight. Help us to embrace it. And as we look at lost souls, as you put the names and faces of those that we need to have utterance for and preach the good news to, speak the good news to, give us a story, Lord God, a story of your goodness that we are so happy to share, and so that your sheep can hear your voice and come to you, especially the lost ones. In Jesus' name, amen.